jails have proven to be great settings for some wonderful movies. Think, for example, of The Shawshank Redemption, a film that starred Tim Robbins and Morgan Freeman, the story of Andy Dufresne, who is unjustly convicted. And there in the big house, he makes friends with Boyd Redding. They sustain each other over the years through their support of one another and their ties. And ultimately, at the movie's end, Andy gains his freedom and Boyd his redemption. A different movie with a prison setting, one that I love, is a classic, The Bridge on the River Kwai. Remember that great film with Alec Guinness and Sisui Hayakawa? The story of Colonel Nickerson and his band of British POWs there in the jungles of Southeast Asia during World War II. The Japanese are going to have their prisoners build a railroad crossing that is vital to their war effort. In the process of doing that, Colonel Saito wants to break Colonel Nicholson and in turn cow all of the British captives. But Nicholson is not having any of that, and he fights back. And indeed, in the contest of wills, it is Nicholson who prevails. He is able to preserve his dignity and his honor and that of his troops, and yet, in doing so, he almost loses his soul. He is going to show his captors what the British are capable of doing. They are going to build a bridge and do it right. And it is only at the end of the movie that Nicholson realizes the horror of what he has done, that he has almost allowed the Japanese to achieve their aims. And he's able to prevent that from coming to pass by sacrificing his life. In death, he gained freedom. But there's another jailhouse movie I had in mind as I was thinking about today's scripture passage, and it should be no surprise to any of you who have read this morning's bulletin as to what film that is. It's the 2000 Coen Brothers flick, O Brother, Where Art Thou? The story of Ulysses Everett McGill and his two pals, Pete and Delmar. They really don't have any choice to be his pals since they are chained to him. These three fugitives from a Mississippi chain gang go off to have adventures and misadventures. It's a wonderful movie. If you haven't seen it, I encourage you to check it out of the library or watch it on Netflix. It has wonderful period costumes. The cinematography is neat. A wonderful, wonderful soundtrack that will expose you to great tunes from the American folk music tradition. And what a story it is. Now, it brought to mind Paul's adventures and misadventures as he made his way around the Mediterranean. Paul, who encountered friendship and joy in spreading the gospel, but also had to endure shipwrecks and time in jail and beatings and backstabbing colleagues and storms. Indeed, if you read today's passage, and I say this meaning no disrespect to Scripture, I think the Coen brothers could have done a great job turning today's lesson into a movie. This is Paul at his most Paul. There he is, wandering around Philippi, where the Philippians would say you have no business being, teaching and preaching, and there's this slave girl following him around, prophesying. They are slaves to the Most High God, and she's just following Paul and Silas around town. And finally, Paul becomes so fed up, he casts the spirit out of her. There's only one problem here. Her owners have just lost their source of income. So what do? They get Paul tossed into the pokey. And what they do is interesting. You can almost suspect here these guys have figured out that the magistrates aren't going to be sympathetic to the fact that they've lost the income they got from exploiting this slave's powers, even though most people didn't care about slaves back then. They said, these guys are Jews. They're the other, they're troublemakers. And remember back in the first century, it was the province of Judea and Galilee, the edge of the Roman Empire, that was just filled with unrest. The Romans may have been charged there, but they knew that the Jews did not like their occupiers. They never had. So they had a reputation for stirring things up. So off they go to the Huskat. And then what happens? An earthquake! And how the big surprise takes place. The jailer is convinced that Paul and Silas would have made a break for it. They'd be on the run. But they stay. And in that moment, they change the life of their captor. I believe through their encounter with God that had made himself known to them in Jesus, Paul's life and Silas's life had been changed too. They've been on a journey. They've been on a pilgrimage. And this is why I thought about, "O brother, where art thou?" For those of you who have seen the movie, you know that it draws heavily on the Odyssey, on this 2,700-year-old foundational epic of our civilization. The story of Odysseus's wanderings around the Mediterranean world as he seeks to return home to Ithaca and his wife Penelope. You remember all the wild things that happened to Odysseus along the way. The sirens and the cyclops, shipwrecks. These events are referenced throughout the movie. And they're done playfully. But they're done in a way that I think can help us look at Paul's story and think about his odyssey, his journey. And think about the challenges that he had to deal with, the problems that he encountered. And as we think about Paul's story, I think then we can take the next step and think about our own stories. Each of us is on an odyssey. Each of us has his or her own unique pilgrimage of faith. And the stories we read in Scripture remind us that while we can talk about things like the joy of the Lord and new life in Christ, the life of faith is not always easy. Indeed, it can be hard. It can be a challenge. Now, it's easy for a preacher to say, let's go take a look at stories from Scripture to seek inspiration. And I'll happily do that. But sometimes examples closer to home from our own experience are the ones that resonate with us the most. And so as I'm thinking of people on faith odysseys, I recall Dick Nethercutt, whom I've spoken of to you before. Dick, whose daughter was murdered. Dick, who decided that he wasn't going to be consumed by his hate and his desire for vengeance, but would instead take his passions and his energy and invest them in efforts towards restorative justice. And so Dick went to work in the Massachusetts prisons, and he changed the lives of scores of people who had committed crimes, who had made bad choices, but who had paid their debts. And he decided to help these people make the most of the lives with which they have been blessed by God. I think of Paul Mahoney and how one Sunday afternoon he offered a witness to his faith. His story was marked with frustration, sometimes bitterness and anger. But given that Paul was at this point in the final stages of his battle with MS, nobody would begrudge him that. And everybody was amazed that his faith was what sustained him and carried him forward as he dealt with his health. My guess is that everybody here has met people like this in his or her life. These people who can offer inspiration and encouragement, who can sustain us. Stories and examples we can think of as we are on our own odysseys. Now, these journeys, as I noted before, can be difficult and they can be hard. And in life, we may not find ourselves in jail, but maybe we are grappling with a failed relationship, a job that's not worked out, financial problems, the loss of a home, a sense of listlessness or aimlessness. Maybe we just look at the world around us and we think that everything has gone wrong. We can feel small and insignificant at times like that. At those moments, I would like to offer this thought. In the eyes of God, we are never small or insignificant. We are heroes. We are people who are worthy of an epic story. I'd like to read to you the first few lines of the Odyssey. Sing to me of the man muse, the man of twists and turns, driven time and again off course once he had plundered the hallowed heights of Troy. Many cities of men he saw and learned their minds, many pains he suffered, heartsick on the open sea, fighting to save his life and bring his comrades home. But he could not save them from disaster, hard as he strove. The recklessness of their own ways destroyed them all. The blind fools, they devoured the cattle of the sun, and the sun god blotted out the day of their return. Launch out on his story, muse, daughter of Zeus. Start from where you will. Sing for our time, too. That is the introduction to each of our stories that God would have us sing. Yes, they can be marked by trial and tribulation, but they are powerful and amazing stories. I mentioned earlier the first reason I thought of building a sermon around the movie, O Brother, Where Art Thou? And that is because of the jail theme, which we saw in the story from Acts. The second reason were the allusions to the Odyssey and our own pilgrimages of faith. But there is a third. And it's in the title of the movie itself. O Brother, Where Art Thou? The question can hang over us during the dark and challenging times in our lives. Perhaps we pose that question to God. Where are you? We might feel alone and abandoned and adrift. Paul believed the answer was that God was with him. God is with us. Our faith teaches us that Jesus is our brother. And so when we ask that question, "Oh, brother, where art thou?" the answer is, he is with us, walking with us, supporting us, lifting us up. He's given us the Holy Spirit to sustain us and to nurture us. Think about Paul's story. Think about your own stories. And I hope you will agree that these are epics, worthy to be told and shared, perhaps even made into a movie, but definitely to be told again and again.